Previously on the Sound of Football podcast.
Well, if I had 40 million bucks, I'd buy an M&S franchise.
I think anyone would. I'm surprised why people haven't gotten involved.
Oh, the cross team as well. The Colorado Mammoths.
Yeah. Really? They're very Colorado based.
They're very Colorado based.
Well, no, all these teams are apart from the Rams.
Exactly.
Where are the Rams playing these days?
St. Louis.
I thought they were.
Yeah.
When
they used to be the LA.
They
used
to be
in
LA.
That's when we were watching it.
Yes, it's the Sound of Football podcast with Graham Sibley, Terry DeFellin, and your host, Andrew Gibney.
Welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I am your guest host this week, Andrew Gibney, filling in for Chris Oakley, who's away on holiday in New Zealand. Now, Chris told me when I filled in, I'd have two of the greatest football blogging minds with me this evening, but unfortunately they couldn't make it, so I've got Graham Sibley and Terry DeFellin. Evening, gents.
Good evening.
Like the bell. Very good, very classy. Yeah, thank you. That was good. That was an excellent intro. Anyway, so when you're ready, we'll start properly this time. No, just joking.
So we're gathered here this evening. We're going to start with a little news story that came out last night. There's not had much coverage at all. Gareth Bale won the Player of the Year award last night. And let's just say I'm not too happy about this. What an absolute disgraceful decision for the whole of football. He's only got one assist for a wide player. He's got 7 goals, fair enough. Played a decent, half an hour on the San Siro when his team were already getting humped 4-0 over at Milan. And Julio Cesar let in a couple of cheap goals, and now he's the greatest player on the planet. Graham, since you're the kind of Arsenal fan among us, you're going to be a big Gareth Bale fan, so I'm going to start with you. What's your thoughts on him on winning this award? And
Well, I don't hold a lot of stock in awards anyway, so especially not the ones that are decided by professional footballers. I think it's, you know, if you're going to decide, you know, who's going to be the best player, I mean, you'd think that the professional footballers would be able to pick out who's quite decent. And, you know, you can't deny it. He has had a good few games. But, you know, he's been out for most of the second half of the season, isn't he?
Well, he's only just out of Phil Neville's back pocket, hasn't he?
Hey, very good. It's good gag quotes.
Good gag quote.
That one's not even written down. That's off the cuff.
I think you've got to give it to someone. And, you know, yes, Tevez probably has had a better season. I think even Modric has probably had a better season for Tottenham.
Do you have to give it to someone?
I guess you do because they all go out and they all dress in suits, you know, and I suppose
you've got to have your award ceremony, haven't you?
You do have to have your award ceremony, yeah. And you know, it's usually the case where, you know, someone, it's just a popularity contest, isn't it, really?
It's just a damn popularity contest. That's a first Simpsons reference, isn't it? The first.
As Graham said,
Bell's not working.
He's not even been the best player at Spurs this season. Even Van der Vaart's played good for 2-3 months. He's better than him. Luka Modric has been outstanding. And how can you win the Players' Player of the Year?
I think the thing is they're good for Tottenham players, aren't they? I think that's the thing we can't escape, isn't it? I mean, I saw someone tweeted the other day, said that actually Gareth Bale, he's not all that, is he? And I replied, well, you know, the clue is in the shirt he wears.
Of course. That was just some kind of crude anti-Tottenham jibe, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly. It was cheap and unnecessary, but I'm full of that. Especially on Twitter.
But, I mean, you look at the players on the shortlist, even, as I said, Van der Vaart had, 2 good months before he's kind of dwindled away as well. Nasri had scored a couple of good goals, but he's not really done much. Charlie Adam...
It looked like a shortlist that was drawn up in December.
But isn't that how it works, though?
I think it is.
I think isn't the PFA Awards notorious for them actually deciding about 5 minutes after the season starts or something?
Yeah, I don't know if that's changed at all. But if it was decided in sort of like January time, then yeah, certainly. Then
well, give it to them in January then, not in bloody April.
You tell them.
Yeah,
you tell them, Andrew. Yeah.
When's the Writers' Award?
It's coming soon. I read that it's on its way.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to see someone different when picking that one up.
Well, you say that, but Simon Peach from The Independent got a little quote here that the 21-year-old Gareth Bale has been in imperious form for Spurs in both the Premier League and the Champions League this season. I don't want this guy picking the player of the year.
Yeah. Also, we have to bear in mind that Henry Winter's going to have a say in this as well, isn't he?
So that's true.
Michael Owen's not on the nomination.
Really. I'm sure he'll find a way.
Yeah, well, if Henry gets his way, he'll be the only person on the ballot paper.
Yeah, he certainly will.
But I mean, awards in general are should football be given individual awards out for what is a team sport?
No, they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It, precisely for what you've just said, Andrew, it's a team sport. The individual is nothing unless they have the team around them. They can do and can't hope to achieve anything. Even the great individual players, I mean, guys like Matt Le Tissier, who we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, a magnificent individual talent. Nothing without his teammates. Even players who brought teams up by their bootstraps, just simply by their own ability, still couldn't function without having those, you know, other flesh bags sort of like surrounding them. Even if they were all cart horses, you still need them there, you know. So it's just pointless. I mean, can I understand? I can't even understand why they do it, apart from maybe, I don't know, to make money or something like that.
Well, it's weird because I mean, like, you can see it in other entertainment industries where awards would be something that will attract people's attention. I mean, if you see Sonic's won 5 Oscars or something, you might be more inclined to go and see it. Or it's going to add more to a film star's cachet.
It adds to the transfer value, doesn't it? I mean, presumably Gareth Bale is now going to be, what, £50 million in the transfer market?
Well, sure, it was £100 million. It was, what, £50 million before
it's that sort of thing. I mean, like, is he now going to go in, right, okay, well, I'm PFA Player of the Year. Right, now I can go and renegotiate my contract with Harry.
Well, Gareth Bale's agents might do that. I suspect Gareth Bale will probably just go back and play on his PlayStation 3.
But, yeah, probably,
apparently that's really all he does. So, apart from play football, play PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. I mean, this is no personal slight on the man himself.
No, we'll
none
leave,
of us
we'll
here
leave,
have met. You know.
We'll leave that for Andrew to
give well, Andrew, you know, indeed.
I have no personal vendetta against Gareth Bale.
Well, that's not quite true, though, is it?
Well, there was that one night, but we can't go through that now.
The truth comes out now.
Yeah, so I can't see the point of the awards, but you know they give us something to talk about, so you know they're not all that bad.
That's true.
As it is, it's basically it comes across that footballers don't really watch football, and they quite enjoy a little night out in London once a year, or maybe twice a year with the writers one. I mean, last year's award went to Ryan Giggs, who'd only started 11 games in the season, but it was more a pat on the back rather than you've actually been pretty good this season, which is what it comes down to. It's a kind of get together for all these footballers, say, well done, and shake hands and get drunk, and News of the World can plant cameras and get stories, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, it's I suppose really the real awards for professional footballers come in, you know, renegotiated contracts, lucrative advertising deals, and you know, international call-ups, I suppose.
I suppose being Gareth Bale and playing for Spurs and Wales, this is probably as big as it's going to get.
Do you think so? I mean, if you can dwell on Gareth Bale a little bit longer, I mean, is there nothing in what people are saying about him? I don't watch enough Premier League to be able to form an opinion, but I mean, is he really just colossally overrated, or is he actually quite good and shows flashes of what he can do
from
fully developed?
From it's what good for Tottenham.
Yeah, well, you've said that before.
Yeah.
From what I've seen of Bale, and I've been a kind of Celtic fan, you've seen some great wingers down the years. And for me, he's not got a move. He's not got... If you've not got 2 yards to build up a head of steam and go past someone, he struggles. which he showed against Phil Neville and Raphael. And he's not got that if he's in a tight corner. He's not got like a little step over. He's not. And to be a winger, I think you need that little bit of skill. He's not got that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would agree there. I would have actually said that Nani was probably a better choice.
Oh, much better. He's got something like 15 assists, 10 goals. I know stats aren't everything, but in a similar position, dwarfs what Bale's done.
Well, no, but I think I think Nani's probably been the most consistent pick in the midfield for Man United this year. I know yeah. Giggs has had some very, very, very influential performances, but as far as week in, week out performances are concerned, I think you've got to look at Nani for being the workhorse.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the shortlist, though, was he?
But then he wasn't on the shortlist, but he has made their team of the year, which then Van de Vaart didn't make it into, even though he was on the shortlist.
Do you think he didn't make it on the shortlist just simply because the players don't like him?
I think it's a lot of that. I think the way when he first came in, there's a lot of play acting and diving. He still does it a bit, but I think like Ronaldo when he first came, he's learning. The kind of the final product's becoming more, and he's getting the assists, getting the goals. And
so, although we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about him, it's considerably less than other people have talked and written about it. I mean, if the PFA award is just simply nothing more than the popularity contest, then why don't people just ignore it and concentrate on awards that perhaps are put together under more, well, I was going to say scientific means, but you know what I mean, under perhaps more, in a more considered situation where, now like, for instance, the Writers' Awards, who maybe don't necessarily have that same kind of relationship that they have with any particular player, and they can maybe afford to be a little bit more objective.
But then if you don't have this award, then what are people on Twitter going to talk about? What are the journals going to write about all week? That's all you've seen. Ian McIntosh said, this is what's going to fill columns for the next couple of days. And if things like this don't happen, people, they'll just find something else to talk about. So it's,
well, yeah, I mean, that's it, though, isn't it? We'll just find something. I mean, God forbid we ever find something to not talk about on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine the day?
Sky Sports don't have a 24-hour rolling news network.
Yeah, for nothing. Yeah,
just on the off chance that there's going to be some news.
But I mean, there are obviously more prestigious awards which do carry tremendous value, fantastic value. The Ballon d'Or, for instance.
But even that's been made a joke because it's now the FIFA Ballon d'Or.
Mm.
When it was like France football's Ballon d'Or, there was a kind of a more of a prestige about it because it was a trophy worth winning. Then FIFA have hijacked it, and now it's just FIFA Jolly Boys outing to Switzerland where you can have a big knees up.
And we get to find out who the best player in Barcelona is.
Yeah. I think Messi should have won it. I think he was deserved winner because he's outstanding. But again, it's just like the fact that, was it Asamoah Gyan had made the list? And you're like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
who won the last one?
Ooh. Silence.
Yeah, we're all up to date with every. We've got our fingers on the pulse. This is how much store we put in awards.
Of all the things I didn't research for this.
We put you on the spot there. It was cool of us to do that because we don't know either.
No, we weren't asking you to sort of catch you out.
It was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Was it himself? Was it?
It was Messi came second and Fernando Torres came third.
Yeah. See, utterly pointless, isn't it?
Fernando Torres came third.
I know.
My God. Right. He hasn't been good for a long time.
I wonder if he'll do better this year.
maybe he will. Maybe he scores a goal, he might get second.
Sorry, I thought that was 2008.
So right, okay.
They've not updated it. Messi won it last year as well.
They've not updated their website. What, FIFA haven't updated their website with the latest winner? Sounds like a phone-in scam.
I always thought they updated it before things actually happened.
Well, easy now.
Well, I'm not on FIFA. I'm on another popular website where you find lots of information.
Oh God, I hope it's not Football Fairground.
It's definitely not Football Fairground.
No, it's definitely. Yeah, all right, mate, don't lay it on. Easy.
Easy, chum. I'm gonna wrap it up a bit now.
You're not that, is it? Right, okay.
So, 13 minutes.
Round one.
I don't see any English players on this list for a while.
No, you wouldn't do. Or Scottish for that matter.
Well, no, Charlie Adam there, is it?
Oh, yeah. Of course. He's Scottish.
On the PFA list, anyway.
The last Scottish boy was Kenny Dalglish, came second in 1983. There you go, listeners.
Did not Wee Gordon Strachan win it at some point?
No, not the Ballon d'Or.
Did he not?
No.
No, he said. I would know something like this.
It's like saying, did Gordon McQueen win it?
Gordon Jackson, maybe.
But before that, it was Jimmy Johnson came third in 1967, which was a wonderful year. But yeah, no.
That was the European Cup year, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, what do we think of the scrapping kind of individual awards altogether and giving, like, just stick to, like, team awards, team of the year? Not an actual team of the year.
I think one possible option might be, rather than having awards, is that what you do is you play these football matches and then you allocate points to the winner.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the season, you decide, you add up who has the most points and then you dish out the awards that way.
Exactly. And I think the best individual players, right, they get new contracts for lots more money, or they go to big clubs for large amounts of cash.
Mm.
Do you think different countries should do their own league as well?
Well, yeah, that's a bit novel. I think some countries, what they should do is that they should go like that until they get to about 2/3 through. Then they just split it in two. The league in two, and then they just play in separate leagues.
That'll never work.
That sounds ridiculous, Terry. What on earth are you talking about?
I must have been having cheese before going to bed again.
You've been watching those crazy American sports again, haven't you?
I have. I'm all over postseasons and stuff like that. I love it.
It's not as bad as the Belgian league, really. You got the relegation battle. They play five games against each other. That is
crazed. Yeah,
It's the SPL, what were geniuses to that.
We quite like the Scottish clausura, as we call it, on the fairground. quite novel.
But we like it in a sort of like pointing and laughing type way.
Yeah, desperately patronising, horrifically English.
That's the same way that we like it as well, to be honest.
I think that there is some merit in actually splitting. You know, I do like the apertura and the clausura as a. I know we're going off topic again, but you know.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We could probably fill up half an hour with something.
It's true enough. I think that splitting, I like the South American, the kind of Argentine, Uruguayan kind of like apertura and clausura. Now I think perhaps the idea of having championships at the end of each sort of like, you know, two championships a season is actually got some merit.
Because they have a sort of like an unofficial one, don't they, in Germany, don't they?
They have the Winter Championship, indeed. But that really is, I mean...
It's really unofficial. Yeah,
it's incredibly unofficial.
It doesn't count for anything, does it, at all?
It counts for absolutely nothing.
Do you even get a trophy of any kind, or no?
It's not even... Yeah, I mean, it's largely ignored, apart from English-speaking German football media who have latched onto it because it makes them look like they know what they're talking about. Present company very much included.
As I say, aren't you the UK German media?
Well, I think I probably have to. I think I make up at least. Well, no, actually, because Dan's in Paris. So yes, I would say I was probably 50-50, if not 60% of the UK. UK German-based media. Certainly that comes from the UK anyway.
Yeah, well,
Raphael Honigstein is probably a significant portion of it.
Well. At the moment, Andrew, you've probably got the whole market for UK based French writers now.
Yeah, only because Andy Brassel goes to Portugal and France a lot.
And Chris on holiday.
And Tom Williams is in Paris, and so is Matt Spear. Because they don't live here, yeah, I've kind of cornered that market.
You are the French football media in England.
The only non-French-speaking UK-based French media.
It's niche, but hey, it's yours. If anyone is a UK-based non-French-speaking
you are French too, guy,
then it's you.
I am number one.
I can just imagine, right? Chris is going to download this tomorrow morning. Oh, is he? Oh, number one, eh? Right. Okay. Yeah.
Chris is just the host.
Just the host, eh? You do realise we don't edit these.
I'm so listening to the next week.
French Football Weekly, this is your host.
and with me, some other guy.
You should hear what he says about you two off the air, tell you.
Yeah, we know all about that, mate. That's not a problem. Should we return to our original point?
Yes, we can.
We can do. I mean, Because you've got the Young Player of the Year award as well, which Jack Wilshere won, which is probably a fair shout, to be honest. But should do you think the players should be able to win both? How can Gareth Bale come second in the Young Player of the Year awards?
This is just a thinly veiled excuse to mention Andy Gray, isn't it, Ryan?
I suspect it would be.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I can see. I can sniff this
we
one.
We can sniff an Andy Gray reference off.
I wasn't bringing an Andy Gray reference whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, he being the one who did win both of them.
He did, yeah. He's been the last one, if I remember. Is that right? He was the last guy to do both, wasn't he?
I think there's a few, wasn't there? Cristiano Ronaldo. He won
it. Did he really?
2008 and 2006-2007.
Mm. Yeah, it's happened quite a bit recently. It's a bit like doubles, really. You know, they used to be really rare, and now they've all suddenly become like every other season.
You mean in darts?
No, I mean like Lean Cup doubles.
Oh, you mean right with you? Yeah. Okay.
Not like doubles have been going on in darts for all the last thing for a very long time.
Almost was going to say because I think you got your facts wrong there. I think fine, Phil the Power Taylor's pretty adept at the old double.
It's not bad. Do you mean double darts or double? Vodkas? Double cheeseburgers?
All of those. And more.
I'm sure he's won an award or something like that.
But last year, James Milner won the Young Player of the Year award, and I think it was his eighth season in the Premier League.
I just think when Phil Taylor eats a cheeseburger and he finished it, do you think everyone goes da, 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 da.
I probably think he's fifth. And they cut to the break.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, what were you saying?
James Milner won
Jimmy Milner, 38-year-old Jimmy Milner.
Still playing for under-21s at the age of 37. Yeah.
I really hope that he's actually going to be one of the overage players in the under-23 team for that goes out for the Olympics next year.
He could well be. I think that anyone who...
It's going to be David Beckham, isn't it?
Beckham's going to be one of them, isn't it? Yeah. I think you're allowed three overage players.
No matter how he's playing or what age he is.
Or
if he's walking.
No way Lord Beckham's not going to be in that team. There is no way on this planet Lord Beckham won't be in that team.
Yeah, I mean, what's your thought? I mean, we spoke about it the other week on here, and what's your thought about the whole fact of it being an English team rather than a British team?
Well, I've been speaking to this with many people living in England. Obviously, I get these questions all the time. For one, does anyone complain when there's only English sprinters in the 100 metres qualifying?
No. Yeah.
Does anyone complain when it's only a Scottish team in the curling? No. It's more, you should be the best players, should be there, regardless of where they're from. I think when London won the Olympics, what were the players going to play in this? I'm like 15, 16 years old, it'd be under 23. Mm. You can't tell who the best players in Scotland, England, Wales are going to be at that age, really. So I think it was a bit narrow-minded to go, it'll be all English players and there's no point.
Are you not concerned it's the thin end of the wedge and you might lose your identity and that we'll all come over the border and turn you all into English people?
Well, because FIFA have already said that won't be the case.
FIFA do say a lot of things, though, and not all of it is entirely true. One FIFA exco delegate lied to the future King of England into his face. I think is actually a really stupid thing to do, I have to say.
Does that country still exist?
not for much longer, it doesn't. We have the bomb. You are aware we have the bomb. Yeah. I'm not being funny.
You can have all the petrol you like. Okay? really. It's not going to make a bigger bomb than what we've got. Okay?
You may have the bomb, but they do have the World Cup.
That's true. This is true. But, of course, we have got lunatics running the country. And so, anyway.
Yeah, and we can get even more now because now we've got more votes to get more people in.
Going back to the Olympic thing, like I'm a basketball fan as well, and Team GB, they got kind of made to make a union together about 3 years ago to take British basketball forward to the Olympics, and they have done, and it's been a success. And I think there's only two Scottish players in that team, and no one gives the monkeys.
The ice hockey team is British, the British ice hockey team as well. Yeah. It's a rubbish team because we're great ice hockey players, but I mean there are examples obviously of this happening. I'm curious as to why you. I suppose football is obviously different because football is popular.
Should that really be the case? Just because there's more people to moan about it, that it shouldn't happen.
Well, I mean, I guess, but I mean, playing devil's advocate. Surely, you know, the popularity of the sport must have some bearing if it then translates to some kind of national identity. And if people feel that, I mean, a lot of, it's quite clear from the reaction that we got from the bit that we did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
About the, when we floated the idea that perhaps a Great British national team, well, I say we, I floated the idea that it was probably going to happen. Or at some point should happen, a sort of like unified, you know, team, that we got quite a strong reaction from a number of Scottish listeners who were a bit uptight about the idea and gave a very eloquent reasons as to the why. But so I thought this was kind of universal. I mean, is it not important that because it's so popular, so that it is so important to so many people, that should be enough and that should be therefore respected?
I don't know. I was a bit living in England, so I feel a bit, a little bit distanced from the whole, like, but then moving down here, I feel more patriotic sometimes than I did when I lived in Scotland, because there's no one to be patriotic to, because you're all kind of the same. But I would have no problem with Scottish players playing in a Great British team, or even just having a Great British team full of English players. I don't see it's just the Olympics. It's just an under-23 football tournament. It is not.
Let's very true. Let's extend that further then. What are your views on a unified British association? Merge the English, the Welsh, the Northern Ireland and Scottish FAs all merging into one, which I'm sure an awful lot of countries would like.
I'm sure they would like it, but as long as you've got separate leagues, then that's not saying why not have a unified Dutch and Belgian FA.
Well, they are two separate countries, yeah, aren't they? Whereas, although there's politically...
Yeah,
but we are a single country still.
This is why the UK is a bit of an anomaly, because although we are one big country, we are kind of separate countries as well, with our own separate identities. And I think that's why you could never, if you brought it together, there'd be the Scottish people that say, well, it'll be all the English people that run it and we won't get our own say. And there might be some truth in that, but you could have.
I think there would almost certainly be some truth in that.
There's no saying that if it did happen, and one, I don't want it to happen, but if it did, you'd have eventually someone Scottish might be in charge, like Gordon Brown was in charge of the country for a bit.
He was indeed.
As much as a success that was.
Gordon Brown, you know.
You've had Scottish people in charge of UEFA committees and stuff. I mean, you can, just because an English person might start off being in charge doesn't mean that's the way it would stay forever and ever. And if they were being biased, sure, they would just get called out and say, well, why you need to be fair to all the different... I'm sure the Welsh might have something to say with it as well.
Sure, you're right. I'm sure there would be... I mean, I'm sure if there were a combined British Football Association, there'd be unholy rows and nothing would ever get done.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a fast track to winning the World Cup. Quite the reverse.
If you look at the Scottish football, that obviously Celtic and Rangers fans are at each other's throats day in, day out, and that all that kind of tension. But when it goes to deciding what happens with the league, Celtic and Rangers are very, very much together and everything. They will vote the same way when they've got the same shot sponsor now. So
yeah, I think at the moment you've got to look at the fact that the UK has 12 Europa League spots.
Yeah.
And 8 Champions League spots.
Yeah, but Scotland only have one for next season.
Scotland will have one for next season. Then they go back to two for one season, and then it's really down to one for some time.
Thanks, Grim.
No, you can't argue with the stats. I suppose when you look at figures like that you've got like 8 Champions League teams coming from one country. All right, a lot of them are in very, very low.
You see 8 Champions League teams. You mean technically 4 in the group stage, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
The Welsh teams aren't going to get there. They've made it near impossible for the Scottish teams to get to the group stage, where they could have non-champion and champions route. You say 8, but really it's you get 8, but maybe 2 of them start at the 15th qualifying round at the start, whether it is you start off with, and they're never going to make it through to the group stage. But then you got Spain, England, and Germany are going to be for next season getting, was it 3 automatic? Yeah,
it's 3 automatic into the group stage and one in the last qualifying round.
So to give Wales 1 or 2 spaces when they have to qualify, it's not really that much of an issue, really.
I mean, like, they get the same as Liechtenstein and San Marino, but it's
not going to tip the balance in favour of British football, is it?
No, really.
No, not at all. Well, We're coming up for half an hour, Andrew. So maybe you want to take us out, as they say, Mr. Savick.
Well, thank you for Terry and Graham for inviting me on to be the guest host of this evening's podcast. You can find my website at goodfootballshow.co.uk, where I have an equally, not slightly inferior podcast to this one, but award nominated.
Yeah, we've just spent half an hour dissing awards. This is why.
But did you not turn up to an award ceremony that you weren't voted for in any category? So you must quite enjoy them as well.
Well, that's different. We were actually bestowing the awards.
Yeah, we were handing them out.
We were handing them out. So it's all right. It's different. That's a different matter.
I saw handing out, but it was more the girls bringing you beer, I think, was the handing out that was going on.
Yes.
Do you have a point to this?
That's all just a blatant attack on you.
That's fine. Continue. It isn't going to end like the last podcast you did in an award ceremony. That's me swearing at you and him.
Oh, and me swearing at you.
I haven't had enough to drink. I've only had tea.
When that wins an award next year,
when that podcast, I shall personally go out to collect it.
The swearingest podcast of the year goes to.
Yeah, oh, actually, I bet it will finish second.
Well, on that note, I think we'll call it an evening. Time is up. It's been a pleasure to be on.
Yes, it has, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
It's quite absolute pleasure. It's all my pleasure. Thanks for everyone who listens, all five of you. Because I'm on, obviously.
This is just keep going. Exactly. What next?
I meant because last week Richard was on. He was very good. It was excellent. Listen to it. But obviously, I'm going to bring the standard way down.
Nonsense.
You've been fabulous. Now tie it up, and we'll fade in the music.
Until next week, we have another excellent guest host, whoever that may be. Good luck to them, and goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Contact the Sound of Football via our website, www.footballfairground.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, come and find us on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball. Andrew Gibney appears courtesy of the Gibb Football Show.